Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the lives of some saints who lived a very difficult life trying to bring the gospel to others. They went before us, and they're saints now, John de Brebeuf, Isaac Jogues, and his companions. Brothers and sisters, maybe you've heard their names, John de Brebeuf and Isaac Jogues and their companions. Brothers and sisters, right here in this country, where you're living, perhaps not in the exact state, but you're living in the country that brought forth a real proclamation of the gospel at one time, because there were 8 Jesuits, there were 6 priests and 2 lay associates who gave their lives while preaching Christ to the Huron natives of North America. And captured by the Iroquois, Isaac Jogues survived brutal tortures, including the mutilation of his fingers, before he escaped. Think of that, brothers and sisters. You're walking on land, soil, where people gave their lives for you to know Christ. Just think about that. It's so easy for us now. We can get up and we can go to our church and there are no obstacles and nobody's after us for something. But there was a time when you couldn't possibly do that. And there were men who gave their lives so that we could live with the Lord in this world in peace. That's what God gave us. He gave us a great peace, and he helped us. And it tells us, this little reading I have here tells us, that after receiving a hero's welcome in France, Isaac Jogues chose to return to the mission, and he said, "I would be glad if our Lord wished to complete his sacrifice where he began it." He wrote that to a fellow priest. "Pray that God unite me to himself inseparably." And Jogues was tomahawked to death in 1646 in what is now today Auraysville, New York. Any of you out there listening to this program from New York or whatever part of the country you're living in, think that our country was saved in so many ways. So many people died for us, brothers and sisters, that we might have a freedom, a free country, an open country. Please, brothers and sisters, thank God for all that. And then ask him to make you more and more of a disciple so that other people can know that, so that we can bring the word to them. The first reading for today is taken from the Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, and then there's just a variety of verses. "Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. If by that one person's transgression the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? For if by the transgression of the one death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification, that's us, come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ?" Brothers and sisters, you have a part to play. There weren't disciples just in the first days. There are disciples now. There are people who are bringing the gospel to other people. And some of them you hear on the radio. You can go and hear them. But brothers and sisters, God wants us to know the gospel so that we can bring it to other people. I've brought it to an individual one time who was on the plane with me, sitting right next to me. I was really looking at the Bible, but I was kind of covering it over because I didn't want him to think I was an idiot. It's not true, but you know how people think these days. He looked, he said, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading the gospel. And he said, what's that? And I told him what the gospels were. And he looked at me for a long time. And he didn't say anything. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just turn back and read. And I actually had turned more facing front to read. And he said, how do I learn to know that? Brothers and sisters, how many people are like that? That man, it was only because I had my Bible in my lap that he asked me. My goodness, how many people we could reach if we study the gospel. And you say, oh, I can't. You can read it every day. You can read it, and I'll give you on another program some books that you could use. You can learn it. And believe me, people will need it. Even if it's one verse, it may be a verse that saves someone's life. It may be a verse that gets that person the route to heaven. We don't know. But each of us has a part to play, and that's what we want to be. And this first reading concludes with, in conclusion, just as through one transgression condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. Where sin increased, grace overflowed all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through justification for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that not what we want? Let's play our part. This Psalm 40 tells us, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. This is a good psalm to memorize. Sacrifice and oblation you wished not, but ears often to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. May all who seek you exult and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation say ever, the Lord be glorified. You know, you can even say that when you pass a good friend on the street. The Lord be glorified. May the Lord be glorified. And it's through my speech, through my mind, whatever. God wants to be praised and glorified because he knows that will draw him to himself and he can bring us into heaven. I don't want to go anywhere else. Open your heart, brothers and sisters, to what God wants to do with you right now, today. And then let's take a look for a few minutes at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, gird your loins. In other words, get your clothes on. Gird your loins, light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. You know, before I go to sleep at night, I think I've told you this, but let me repeat it for those who haven't heard. Before I go to sleep at night, I just say, Lord, what's the most important thing for me today? What have I done or what have I heard that's most important? What can bring me closer to you? What have I heard today that could bring me closer to you? And when I get up in the morning, there's a word. Brothers and sisters, then ask him, help me live out this word today. I just do that at night. Brothers and sisters, God hears you. You say, oh, there's too many people. He couldn't know me. I'm nothing. That's not true. God made you. He wants you to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to be with him in heaven forever. That's what God wants. That's what I want. I hope that's what you want. So these are years when we prepare for that. And that little thing at nighttime and in the morning is just the best thing I could possibly do to get myself awake from sleep. Just a word. Many times it's silence, so then I keep silence and wait until I see something or something happens that I know I should take care of. But brothers and sisters, I don't mean God speaks to me every day by a long shot, but the more I walk with him, the more I know what's important to him. The more that I walk and read his scriptures, the more I understand of him. I'll never understand him until I really see him. Neither will you. But I do want to see him, and I want you to see him. This is Walter Chiswick, who was a Jesuit priest who's now a servant of God, probably on the way to sanctification. He spent 23 years in Soviet prisons. And he wrote a lot, but I want to say this one portion of what he wrote. Faith is the answer to the question most often asked of me. How did you manage to survive? And I can only repeat it simply and unashamedly. To me, the truth says more than that man has a duty and obligation toward his Creator. To me, it says that God has a special purpose, a special love, a special providence for all those he has created. God cares for each of us individually, watches over us, provides for us. The circumstances of each day of our lives, of every moment of every day, are provided for us by him. Every moment of our life has a purpose. Every action of ours, no matter how dull or routine or trivial it may seem in itself, has a dignity and a worth beyond human understanding. No man's life, hear that, is insignificant in God's sight, nor are his works insignificant, no matter what the world or his neighbors or family or friends may think of them. No matter what people think of us, he knows us and loves us. Brothers and sisters, think of your day, today or yesterday. Think of the work you did. Think of the people you met, moment by moment. What did it mean to you? And what might it have meant for God? No one can know greater peace. No one can be more committed. No one can achieve a greater sense of fulfillment in his life than the man who believes in this truth of faith. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.